You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 27th of January 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, it's International Holocaust Remembrance Day today and I'm not going to make the show about that, but I will just offer an observation. Obviously, if the Jews wish to remember their war dead, then I have no objections to that. We should all be able to remember our war dead. But why is it that we have a special day for Jews that died during the war, and we don't have a special day for British that died during the war, or the French that died during the war, or even the Germans that died during the war? More Germans actually died after the war. More Germans were deliberately killed after the war than actually died during the war. In actual fact, I think there was something like 40 million Europeans that died during that war. And we're told that there were 6 million Jews that died in the Holocaust. Obviously, I would question that number. But even if we do take that number as a given, it's still almost 8 times as many Europeans that were actually killed during that war. And we don't seem to pay anywhere near as much respect to our European dead as we are expected to show concern for the Jewish dead. Anyway, I don't really want to get into those matters today. I certainly wouldn't wish to be seen as trying to offend Jews on their special day. I send them best wishes on their Holocaust Remembrance Day. Obviously, I would rather have not seen any Jews die during that war. I'd rather not seen anybody die at all. I think we should have done our best to avoid that war. We could have only lose. You cannot have a war between two brothers without the family losing. So we lost that war. Well, let's get into some news here. Police have been contacted and politicians are outraged after racist and offensive posters saying it's okay to be white and white lives matter were seen in Edinburgh, Scotland. And of course, this happens pretty much weekly now. We see these news reports about the so-called racist and offensive posters that are simply saying it's okay to be white. I think anybody normal that sees this is going to be questioning just what is meant by the word racist. If just simply saying it's okay to be white is racist, then doesn't that mean that anybody that thinks it's okay to be white is a racist? Doesn't that then mean that all white people are racist? The stickers were discovered in the Morningside, a well-known and well-to-do area in the Scottish capital, with a reputation for snootiness, by a local woman who moved quickly to rip them down and contact the City Council and Community Council, who referred the matter to the police. How can anybody be offended by somebody saying it's okay to be white, or simply that white lives matter? Are we only supposed to be concerned about black lives? Is it racist to say that you're concerned about white lives too? That white lives matter as well as black lives? She said, I was pretty shocked when I first saw the stickers, and then I thought, if you live in a racist society, you can't be surprised that there is racism in your neighbourhood. The woman mourned in comments to Edinburgh Live. So simply not being angry about white people, not thinking it's not okay to be white, We don't want white people. We hate white people. If you think like that, then you're not racist. I think that's what she's actually saying here. She thinks it's a racist society that allows people to think that it's perfectly normal to be white. Then what does that say about our society? What does that say about what this word racist actually now means? She said, I was glad that there was something I could do. I took down all I could, more than 20, and reported it to the city council and my community council, who logged it with the community police team, she added. So she clearly thinks that this should be a criminal offence, saying that it's okay to be white or that white lives matter. And I would dare say that pretty much everybody in the country thinks that it's okay to be white and that white lives matter. So why does this woman think that this is such a terrible, horrible thing to say, such an awful thing to say, that it should be regarded as a criminal offence? Has she been brainwashed in some way? Is she not white herself, possibly? She said, it's not much, but I would urge anyone who sees things like this to do the same. If you want our society to be better, we have to step up as individuals. So I wonder how she would feel about the people that actually put this up. People that are obviously caring individuals, that care about white people, that don't want to see white people killed any more than they want to see black people killed. I mean, the whole point of that Black Lives Matter campaign was to draw attention to black people that had died whilst being in police custody. We also have white people that die in police custody. And there are more blacks that die in police custody than their percentage of the population, because they're more likely to commit crimes than the rest of us. 5 times more likely to commit violent crimes. So you would expect them to die in police custody 5 times more than white people, simply because there are 5 times as many of them are arrested for these violent crimes. It's just simple statistics. And if you're going to say that one group in society matters, then you're really saying that the rest of the society doesn't matter. Unless you're going to say that all people matter, then you're saying that only this one group we should be caring about. We should only be caring about black lives. Black lives actually matter. White lives don't matter. If you say white lives matter, then you should be criminalised, apparently. Ian Murray, the local MP and Shadow Secretary of State for Scotland for the Labour Party, also weighed in, saying we can't pretend that Scotland is immune from hatred and intolerance. How is it hatred and intolerance to say that it's okay to be white or that white lives matter? Surely that is the opposite of hatred. That is showing concern for people. That is showing love for your people. And that's showing the highest form of love, isn't it? It's platonic love. It's not carnal love. It's platonic love that people are expressing when they say that they love their race. It's perfectly fine for blacks to have black pride and talk about black power and talk about how much they love their people. But if you do the same and you're white, you will be accused of hatred and intolerance. He said, thank you to the local resident who took the time to remove all these offensive stickers. We all have a duty to take a stand against racism. It's interesting here that this woman removed all these stickers, and if you believe the nonsense that the press tell us, she should have been very careful when she did that, because there might have been razor blades stuck behind these stickers expressing concern for white people. Of course, that news story was a load of nonsense. It was just an attempt to slander the people that were putting these stickers up. Of course, they're not going to put razor blades behind them. I mean, the whole point of the sticker is saying that people's lives matter. And then you're going to make an accusation that the sort of people that think that people's lives matter and we should be concerned about them, they're going to try and harm people in some way. I think the more we see articles like this, the more people are likely to wake up to just what is going on in our countries. The It's Okay to Be White slogan has its origins on internet message boards, with users allegedly believing that putting up posters bearing the seemingly innocuous phrase would trigger a, quote, massive media shitstorm, close quote, and be branded tantamount to an expression of racism and white supremacy. If true, it appears the left liberal politicians and law enforcement have consistently taken the bait. And that is the entire reason why these things were put up, because we know that we are hated as white people. And we know that if we any expression of concern or of love for white people, we know that you will be attacked and they will try to criminalize you for this. And the average person, when they see this, they're just amazed that things have got this far, that we are allowed to say that Black Lives Matter, but we're not allowed to say that White Lives Matter. The White Lives Matter slogan is a more recent phenomenon, arising in response to the popularization of the Black Lives Matter slogan by many mainstream media pundits, politicians, and campaigners, and has tended to receive much the same sort of responses as "It's okay to be white." In one high-profile incident, a banner bearing the White Lives Matter slogan was flown over a football match in Burnley, shortly after three white people were stabbed to death by a migrant terrorist in a public park in Reading. And of course, most of the newspapers, when they reported on that, they just said, what a terrible thing this is. What an awful, awful racist thing it is to fly a White Lives Matter slogan when everybody's talking about Black Lives Mattering. But of course, it was in response to this terrorist murder of three white people, the terrorist murder that we were talking about on Monday, the terrorist who was a refugee who had been welcomed into this country and who then went on to commit lots of crimes and become radicalized in prison and then go out and look for white people to kill. And of course, this is why people are saying white lives matter, because we keep being told that these killings are random killings. But of course, if the killer is non-white and they're killing somebody else who is white and there is essentially no other motive, and they say, well, they didn't know the person they killed, we can't work out what the motive is. It's quite obvious what the motive is. There is one thing that they could identify, and that was that the victim was white. Black-on-white crime vastly outnumbers white-on-black crime, massively outnumbers it. I forget the statistics, but it's something like 10 times as much black-on-white crime based on race than the other way around. And yet all we hear about is supposedly racist whites. All you have to do is look at the conversation on Twitter, look at what's said on these black advocacy sites to see that it's all about hating white people. White people are the one group in society that you are allowed to hate on. And if you report the hate, people will just laugh at you and say, well, it's impossible for somebody to be racist against whites. David Lammy has even said that. It's impossible to be racist against whites. So, of course, what we have to say is that it's anti-white. And that's what this is. To condemn people saying white lives matter and it's okay to be white, that is anti-white. These people that are condemning this, they are the ones that are breaking the equalities law. They're the ones that are breaking the incitement to hatred. They're trying to get people arrested simply for saying that they love their people. There's no harm intended to any other people to say that white lives matter, is there? The same as blacks don't intend harm to any other people by saying that black lives matter. All lives matter. And obviously you're going to be more concerned about your own people group than other people groups, the same as you're going to be more concerned about your own family than other families. But that doesn't mean that you hate all the other families. It just means that you understand that your family is the most important thing to you. And with all these other races, with the non-white races, they understand that their race is the most important thing to them. Their people is the most important thing. That's why they stand up for their people. That's why they advocate for them. But as whites, we are taught that we should be standing up for everybody else. We should be putting everybody else's needs ahead of our own. And of course, we should put other people's needs ahead of our own. But when you're looking at things in a racial sense, you need to be putting your race's needs ahead of the others, because all the races are together in a competition. As I pointed out in the series called The Competition, we are all essentially competing for limited resources within limited territory. And we have to do that as part of a group if we wish to succeed at that. That's why these other groups band together in their groups and advocate for them. This is why we have the British Board of Jewish Deputies, for instance, or the European Jewish Congress. Jews advocate for their own interests. And as soon as white people do it, though, they are accused of being racist. What does this tell us about our society? Getting back to the White Lives Matter banner, the stunt earned widespread condemnation, with a football club referenced in the banner saying the man responsible was not welcome at their stadium, and his employer fired him after he was identified. I think his girlfriend was fired as well. He really wasn't expecting such a negative response to what he said. And considering the country is still majority white, I would have suggested that most people identified with that. And of course, what we have seen since then, when they have football matches and when they've actually allowed people in to the football match, and the footballers have all got down on one knee to show that they support this movement that advocates tearing down our statues, abolishing the police, and wants to destroy the nuclear family, when they see their footballers doing that, they boo them because they don't support it. They don't support politics being brought in to football. And Black Lives Matter is politics. They do have a political party now, a Black Lives Matter political party. But the reason why it is political, even if they didn't have that party, is because their solution to deal with racism is a left-wing solution. The right-wing solution is to have segregation. If you had the different races living in different areas with self-government, then there wouldn't be any racism, would there? And all these other attempts that we have made to try and get rid of racism over the last 70 years, they haven't worked, have they? Every time they do a poll and say, what do you think of the levels of racism? It always comes back and says, well, there's loads of racism. Even though we have black people, non-white people in parliament and in the cabinet in parliament, we're still told that we have this racist society. And the solution that Black Lives Matter put to deal with this is always to take away from whites to give to blacks. Whereas the nationalist way to deal with this is to say, well, let's just separate. You don't need to take anything from anyone. You can just govern your own people and stand on your own two feet and have a meritocracy. And when you're living amongst your own people, you can have a fair meritocracy, because you're only competing against people that have the same genetics as you. So essentially, the average of the group is going to be the same for everybody in the group. So you're not starting out competing against people that might have a higher IQ than you. Everybody will have the same average IQ. There will be people at either end, obviously, that are better or worse. But essentially, it's a fair competition. And that's the right-wing or the nationalist way to deal with racism. But the left-wing way to deal with it is to have diversity quotas and have hate speech laws and pay reparations for things that happened in the past, pay reparations for slavery. And all these things are policies that Black Lives Matter advocate for. So Black Lives Matter is clearly political. And yet the BBC and the football teams, they will all advocate for it completely without shame. Now, as I was saying, I think the majority of people in the country, they don't support this Black Lives Matter. They want to say all lives matter. And why is it not okay to be white? And we have an example of that here. Britain's Got Talent was 2020's most complained about show, attracting more than 31,000 complaints to Ofcom. Now, why might that have been? Why might it have been that 31,000 people got it together to write in and complain to Ofcom? Why might that be? Well, it was because of their extremely embarrassing tribute to George Floyd set to the medium of dance. You never saw anything so cringeworthy as this dance troupe pretending to be white supremacists deliberately murdering an innocent, unarmed black man. And of course, we've learned since then, once the video was released that was hidden from the public, that George Floyd was overdosing on drugs and was violently resisting arrest. And he was also overdosing on the drugs before he was even in the police car. And he was desperate to get out of the police car and lie down on the ground. It was George Floyd himself who wanted to lie down on the ground. The police officer, the supposed white supremacist police officer, had a non-white wife. And he was just carrying out normal police procedure. But regardless of that, Britain's Got Talent decided to ram Black Lives Matter down everybody's throats when they were just wanting to watch a simple talent show. Fellow ITV shows Good Morning Britain and This Morning followed, with Piers Morgan's programme being the subject of more than 11,000 grievances, according to a Freedom of Information request. And of course, Piers Morgan is a big supporter of the COVID lockdown. The majority of Britain's Got Talent's complaints came after Diversity, that's the name of this dance troupe, performed a Black Lives Matter dance in September, which spurred 25,010 people to get in touch with the watchdog. ITV defended the performance at the time, saying ITV stands behind the decision to broadcast Diversity's performance on BGT. But thousands also later complained about finalist Nabil Abdul Rashid's stand-up routines about race and religion and Judge Alicia Dixon's Black Lives Matter necklace, because, of course, you're not supposed to show any political partiality on the television. In total, 31,763 people vented their fury over the primetime Saturday night show to Ofcom. So we have masses of people complaining about this, complaining about Black Lives Matter, and yet we're expected to believe by the mainstream media that it's people saying White Lives Matter that people are upset about and that don't agree with and think is racist. Not to say that Black Lives Matter, but all the other lives don't. That's perfectly fine. Well, more good news about this. It looks like Britain's Got Talent have now been axed. Of course, they're blaming COVID regulations for it, but it may well be that they've lost so many viewers for being so anti-white, basically. Well, I've got some good news here to finish up the show with. Plans to broadcast the Muslim call to prayer through loudspeakers three times a day to a Peterborough City neighbourhood have been rejected. The Masjid Ghuzia Mosque on Gladstone Street in Peterborough applied to the City Council to install the speakers on one of its minarets, but planning permission has been refused on the grounds it would be an unwelcome intrusion on the soundscape. And of course, it's more than an unwelcome intrusion on the soundscape. It's hijacking what you hear, isn't it? It's a foreign group hijacking your ears and saying, we have occupied this part of the city, and we haven't just occupied this building, we're now going to occupy the space between your ears, because you can't avoid this sound when you hear it. And people associate it with being in the Middle East. They associate it with being in Muslim countries. A lot of people think it's it's a welcome sound. It reminds them of when they're on their holidays. But it's effectively a way of saying, we own this part of your country and we're not going away. And what they want is to have mosques everywhere making this sound to remind the British people that we are being colonized. That's what it is. It's like a triumph to them. It's the triumphal sound of victory that they have taken over that part of the city. So I'm very pleased to hear that this has been stopped. In a report submitted to Peterborough City Council's Planning and Environmental Protection Committee, Labour councillor Shabina Quayam, who represents the East Ward on the other side of the city centre, and of course, she doesn't just represent the East Ward on the other side of the city centre, she's a Muslim. She represents Muslims, so she is going to be standing up for what she thinks is best for Muslims. not what's best for the people of Peterborough. If she was concerned about the people of Peterborough, she would be saying, well, we shouldn't have any Muslim immigration because there's a certain portion of them that are susceptible to terrorism. There's a certain portion of them that are susceptible to grooming non-Muslim girls, raping them and turning them into sex slaves. And this is a Christian country, so why would we want to import another religion into it? If she cared about the people she is supposed to represent, which is the British people, that's what she'd be saying. But of course, her loyalties are to her Muslim people, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. That's quite right that her loyalties are to Muslim people. What is wrong is our system that pretends that her loyalties are to everybody else, and that tells white people that our loyalties should be to everybody else instead of to our own people. Well, this Labour councillor, she said, in view of the number of people affected by COVID-19 from the Muslim communities, and that they are unable to attend prayers in the mosque, this would serve as a welcome initiative to ease their anxieties in such challenging times. And of course, where is the concern there for the non-Muslims? Do you think it's going to ease the non-Muslims' anxiety to hear the sounds of a Muslim country all around them? To think that their country is no longer Christian anymore, and instead of hearing church bells, they are hearing the Muslim call to prayer? She doesn't show any concern for anybody else here, just for the Muslim communities. Liberal Democrat councillor Terry Haynes, who represents Fletton and Stanground, said the application should be rejected on the grounds that it will create a statutory nuisance. As Muslims have attended prayers at this mosque for years, it is not necessary for the practicing of the religion, and it is therefore an unnecessary noise, she said. Very rare that you actually hear Liberal Democrats speak in any sense, but Terry Haynes there is actually standing up for the Peterborough people. The committee refused planning permission by 8-3. A council spokesman said this was on the grounds that the call to prayer would have an unwelcome intrusion on the city's soundscape for nearby properties. Thereby, it contradicts the city's adopted Peterborough local plan and noise stipulations in the National Planning Policy Framework. So if anybody hears about this sort of thing going on in their area and they hear that there are calls to have a call to prayer at the mosque, and we often see company or mainstream media companies like the BBC talking about what a great idea this is and a Muslim group have decided they want to do this. Well, what you need to point out is that it contradicts the noise stipulations in the National Planning Policy Framework, and also look at the local noise restrictions for your area and point those out to your local council. Because if we don't do something to stop this, they will, if they can get away with it, they will have calls to prayer everywhere. So the people of Peterborough must have really got together and formed local groups to resist this, and it looks like they have succeeded. So good bit of news there to finish up with from Peterborough. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.